I'm Mimi Rosenberg.
And I'm Ken Nash.
We're building bridges. Yes, we are. More Amazon workers are gearing up to kick the ass of the Bezos class. Yes, one spark can create a prairie fire, say Albany Amazon fulfillment warehouse workers filing for a union election. Catching the fire, no doubt, from their sibling workers' victory, the Amazon Workers Union at their Staten Island Fulfillment Center warehouse facility. They're organizing for a union.
And we're joined by Amazon worker organizers who've ignited the spark of union amongst their fellow workers. Heather Goodall, an Amazon lead organizer, Kimberly Rolland, Amazon worker, and Masood Abdillah, Amazon worker.
It is great to have you with us. And I want to begin with, I insisted, and I couldn't possibly be wrong, could I, that what's really going on now is that workers are rising up, low-wage workers are rising up, workers who seem to be almost in impossible situations are taking the bull by the horns and working to a union. And I want to find out what created the inspiration for each one of you to begin to tackle the Bezos monster and to organize a union. Let's start with Heather.
And thank you for having us. Yes, we are kicking ass. We are taking the bull by the horns. My inspiration for the union effort was the answer that each employee gave when they were asked, what is it that you like about Amazon? We talk so much about the horrid working conditions, their aggressive tactics, their coercion, but there has to be something. And every single answer was the people. So to see these people supporting each other without a voice, without support, inspired me to say it's time that these people who clearly care about each other have an opportunity to form a union. These were people that were trying to support each other because they were had difficulty financially with their health, with their family, because Amazon was neglecting them by not paying fair wages, by forcing them into these working conditions. My inspiration came directly from the people that needed that voice.
Masood and certainly Kimberly, join in. Masood?
Basically, the same thing Kimberly said, support of others. That's what makes you there, not really the higher-ups. They don't really interact. It's the workers that keep you pushing, you know what I mean? I feel that the workers will be better protected because to me it doesn't seem like could really say anything to them once they make the decision. So,
maybe you can share your experience of what happened on Saturday.
Oh, on Saturday, yeah. See, that's another thing why the union would be good. The incident on Saturday, there was a pallet hanging out, looking up for the numbers, pallet hanging out, saran wrap went into the machine, the pallet went into the machine, pierced the machine. They breathalyzed me, and they took urine tests, and they made me go back to the docking side of the floor.
Masood, this is just not an isolated occurrence. This kind of thing happened frequently, do they not?
It happens a lot. It happens a lot because when I was getting urine tests, there was another guy getting urine tests too. But his incident was different from mine, and they didn't even give him a breathalyzer. He just hit another machine. I didn't even hit a machine, but he got a urine test and no breathalyzer.
So something that has nothing to do with you, you're putting this undignified and harassing position. Well, Kimberly, what about yourself, given what Heather has said and what Masood has been saying?
Absolutely. I agree with everything that Heather has said. Also, you know, when I first started with Amazon almost 2 years ago, it became like really clear really quickly that Amazon absolutely puts production over employee safety. Just kind of made me sick that people I was starting with, that I had started with, within a month, either they can't walk or their arm is in a sling or they're out on disability. I myself was only there a month before I wound up in the hospital with a hernia. Incidentally, they let me sit on the floor and then had me walk to the car, my own car, and I drove myself to the ER. You know, I quickly realized that, you know, my well-being definitely is not a priority for this company. It just was getting ridiculous with all the injuries that I have seen over the past 2 years and the discipline that I have seen. There's no progressive discipline. It seems one person can do something five times and then another person will do it once and they're gone, you know, like poor Masood, what happened to him on Saturday, it was an accident, and here they take him off the floor, they breathalyze him, they give him a drug test, and before they even get the drug test results, they send him back out on the floor, but just not in the same spot where he was. I mean, what sense does that make? If you think this poor guy is on drugs, why are you sending him even back out on the floor? It just seems to be not a whole lot of consistency. There seems to be a lot of favoritism. Not a lot of care for the welfare and the well-being of the workers that make this all happen. You know,
they tend to create policies as they go, right, Kim? They create policies as they go to suit the narrative that they need
there
to fit at that time.
Yes.
Right.
Absolutely, Heather. Yes, they do. They create the policy to suit the narrative at the time. For whatever reason, poor Masood was targeted on Saturday. Because of a mere accident when, you know, I have somebody slamming next to me who reeks of whiskey. You know, it's kind of crazy. I mean, it's got to be across the board. You can't pick and choose. And Masood was doing his job the best he could under the conditions that they provide. And, you know, they're reprimanding him, I think, very unjustly. I mean, that's just one small example. You know, I obviously the financial reasons, as you guys may have heard and as Heather has vocalized many, many times, we have people that are sleeping in cars. We have people that can't afford to feed their families. We have people that are struggling, can't get their cars repaired, and so they end up using their unpaid time off. And once you go into a negative, that's their out right there. Now, Amazon likes to rotate their stock like every 3 months. And especially now, they want as many new people in there as possible now. So they just got off a major firing spree, and now they're on a hiring spree.
Right. There's no job security at all.
No job security at all. And I think with a union backing us and people can realize exactly what a union can provide for them, you know, they may be more apt to put more into their job. As of right now, I mean, people are limping home. They're in so much pain.
Right.
I mean, I was telling Heather this morning, I can't even lift my arms, Heather. My shoulders are burning me from this past week. But it's not even,
We all agree that job security is one of the primary agendas with the union. We need people to come to work to know that they have an opportunity. The promotions are promised. You know, it's funny because they say or they claim the ALU doesn't have any experience, doesn't know how to negotiate a contract and make promises. You know, the thing is, they're dismissing the fact that Amazon has frequently made promises to employees to have a review of wages. But what they're neglecting to disclose is that they are using the retail market as a comparative measure when it comes to wage increase, not warehouse. So there's a lot of negligence that Amazon is currently employing to workers to distract from the reality that Amazon has been making promises. Their minimum wage has been $15 since 2018. So if they raise wages annually, then what has happened over the course of the last 4 years that Amazon has not offered a consistent wage increase?
I just want to bring Masood back into the discussion, too. And I'm interested why Masood, who has been working there somewhat less time than yourself, Kimberly, and Heather. Masood, why did you go to work at Amazon? And what are your feelings about it now? You like the people, but your feelings about the employer?
What I basically feel is that the reason why I applied for him because of the hours. I had to work around my son working because I had to pick him up from work. That's the reason why I chose to work at Amazon.
Yeah, and I would agree with you there, Masood. That was a big factor for me also in choosing to go to Amazon and apply was the flexible hours that it did provide me. As a caretaker for my mom, it just made it really easy for me to you know, juggle both. But, I actually found out the other day that because I am a flex employee, which means I'm not full-time, I basically can choose my hours every week. I just have to meet a certain criteria, number of hours. But I did not realize this, but by being on flex, I am not eligible for raises. So I'm sitting there talking, and the people who have been there more than a year less than me are making more than me. I make $16.20 an hour after being there since they opened, and these people are making more than me. And I found out through HR that, oh, yeah, because you're on flex, they changed the policy, and you do not get raises. So I feel like as long as I'm on flex and taking care of my mom, I'll never get a raise. I'll never get beyond $16.20. You know, and at this point, it's, yeah.
Very good point.
Yeah, well, exactly. You know, it's really very disconcerting. And, you know, the longer I stay there, it isn't going to matter. You know, at this point, I love the people I work with. They're very, very assiduous people. And, you know, everyone's there for a certain reason. It's obviously not everybody's dream job that they dreamed of having. But I'm thinking it's a reputable company, and how bad can it be? Until my first day walking in there, and as Heather has pointed out on many occasions, I see just such safety issues that it just hits you right in the face. And I was giving them the benefit of the doubt. They'd only been open a week. I'm thinking, well, this can't last. Well, 2 years later, you know, you're dealing with the same exact problems from day one that they opened. And I think the only reason anything has changed in there is because OSHA was there a couple weeks ago.
And we'll talk about OSHA in a minute, which the Occupational Safety and Health Administration and those conditions. But, you know, what, and I know that Ken is chomping at the bit to talk about those occupational safety and health violations, but could each one of you describe what you actually do there? So that we understand what the nature of the job is and then many of the injuries that flow. And I want to start again with Masood, since he's the one who had the particular problem physically and suffered the consequences through no fault of his own on this past weekend. So talk a little about what you actually do and then how it can lead to health and safety violations. Masood, what describe your work for us.
I'm a picker. What I do is I operate a machine that's basically a forklift with a cage on it. I go through aisles picking out items for the delivery that they want. The safety issues is basically how the bins are set up. There's overhanging pallets, there's cages that come out, boxes overhanging, and they don't have like somebody on safety with one of the forklifts driving through the aisles to inspect every day. They don't even have safety doing that at all.
Mm-hmm. And Heather, what do you do?
Actually, I'm also a picker, so I also... we come in the morning, and I'll just go into a little bit of detail. We come in the morning, we have to attend a stand-up meeting and do our stretches. Then we have to go find a scanner, and oftentimes there's not enough scanners, so we have to locate one. Then we have to go and find a harness. Now, it has been a common problem that there isn't enough harnesses, to the point where I myself, I'm 145-pound, 5'5" woman, and I had to wear an extra, extra, extra large harness that because there wasn't any left. And when I asked the manager and said, I'm going to fall right out of this if I'm 30 feet in the air, retrieving a 50, 55, 60-pound item with things falling out at me. So there's not enough harnesses. Then you locate the pit machine. Now, the pit machine is an 8,000-pound, similar like Masood said, to a forklift. We have to find one that works, that has gas, and then retrieve our first item within 10 minutes, which, as you can tell, is next to impossible. So once you locate this, you're in a hurry to go retrieve your first item. Now, remember, you're operating machinery similar to a forklift, we'll call it, with a cage on the back on a half a day of training. So they're training to operate this piece of machinery that I'm unsure if OSHA does mandate there's some kind of certification, because I've never received a certification to operate this piece of machinery. So now you're in a hurry, because if you don't get what they call their fast start, then you'll be written up. But you have to get all of your equipment. You have to hope that you find working equipment. So now you're in a hurry on half a day of training to get your items. Now, imagine we call the VNA aisles, very narrow aisles. These are very, like I said, small aisles. Now you're driving your pit down to find the bin. Now the bins are collapsing because we've had so much overstuffing over the course of almost 2 years that the bins have now started to collapse. The collapsing bins are causing the sides of metal. Now these are metal bins that items are placed in that we go to retrieve. An example of items would be air conditioners, mattresses, fireplaces, furniture, multiple bags of 30 to 40 pounds, dog food, cat litter, you name it. We are an XL center. That means we are retrieving the large, heavy items falling off of the shelf. So the bins, which are metal bins, on each side is squared off, we'll call it, with wire walls. Now those wire walls are starting to protrude out. So you're in a very narrow aisle. You don't really have room to stick your head around. What you're looking through is the cage ahead of you or the screen ahead of you. And if you turn your head to see if there's debris in the aisle, which is oftentimes the case, or items about to fall, which is oftentimes the case, you'll get a laceration on your face, or worse, your eye will be taken out by these wires. So that's the situation we're faced with. And then we go drop the cage off. Now the cage are oftentimes broken. So I've had a metal bar with the elastic on it come back and hit me in the lip and cut my lip, which happens a lot. So that's basically a day in the life of a picker, with items falling off the shelves, bins collapsing, there's not enough equipment. And these are very large items that we're lifting 10 hours a day.
Wow. And Kimberly, what do you do?
Well, actually, I am a packer and a slammer. As a packer, if I'm packing, what I will do is grab the cage that the pickers have put the items into that they have just picked. And these cages are chock full of, like Heather said, of big items, air conditioners, dressers, I mean, furniture, cat litters, you name it. So it would be my job to take each item out of the cage and box them in the appropriate box and send them down the conveyor belt, where they go through a tape machine, and then the slammer gets it. And once the slammer gets this box, it's put on a scale and weighed, and the shipping label spits out of the machine, and you put the label on the box, and you send it on down onto another conveyor belt, which goes up and around the warehouse and ends up on the dock.
So what happens to you physically?
Physically, when we do get the cages from the pickers, they are on a time crunch because, you know, they have to reach quotas. They're picking off a screen. I believe it gives them the order in which it needs to be picked. And I will grab this cage that will have, say, a 50-pound bag of dog food on the very top. And I have to get this 50-pound bag of dog food off, you know, it's off the top of the cage, and carry it down and put it on my table and build the box. These boxes, and if you're doing a multi, which could be two bags of dog food, they are very, very heavy. And I do try to do the proper technique in walking the box over and, you know, bending at the knees and lifting it up to get it on the conveyor belt. But let's face it, I mean,
I think we are facing human. It. I think you're giving graphic pictures of the dangers of the physical stress and strain, the repetitive motion and so on, and the fact that there is an equipment that is appropriate for safety. But Ken, you're...
What I want to find out is, now you've described these abysmal conditions, and this has led you to begin an organizing drive in the shop there. What has been management's reaction to that? Do they just sort of sit back and see what's going on, or do they take some kind of proactive thing to repress this? Who wants to go first?
You want this one, Heather?
Oh, my God. Finish your question. We're all just dying here. It's psychological warfare, okay? It is an absolute war zone. Sit back? No. Every single day, we have somebody who's terminated. There are employees who are forced into what they refer to as safety meetings, but really in the meetings, they are showing slideshows to employees telling them, do not sign a card. It is a blatant lie. When you tell an employee, signing a card has consequences. Some of those consequences could lead to us, meaning the ALU, giving third parties their signed cards where these third parties will show up at their houses. Management saying that the ALU can't make any promises and you're signing a contract and it's legally binding. And they are literally walking up to employees, you know, under the guise that they want to talk about the working conditions. However, there comes that they're asking about how they feel about the union. There is rights being violated every single day. And Amazon violates the law because they know filing ULPs will take time. And by then,
that's unfair labor practices. Yeah.
It is.
Absolutely.
Oh, sorry. Yes. Here is the latest, most offensive tactic of theirs. So they have been claiming that the ALU will give their personal information to third parties. And they have used that over and over. However, they now have an attorney calling employees to solicit legal representation, asking employees to sign a retainer for the possible upcoming federal OSHA investigation. And then when the employee starts to ask questions to this unsolicited attorney, a third party with the employee's personal information, the attorney then backs off a little and then suggests that if they were harassed by a union representative, that they could get legal counsel. So that to me should be harassment, that you have provided their personal information without their permission to have an attorney call an employee and solicit legal representation. That to me is something that the public needs to be made aware of.
Absolutely.
Amazon is spreading the word, accusing the ALU and those of us supporting it and on the committee that we are harassing them and that we will be calling them and we may show up at their house. And the only the only correspondence anybody is getting is from Amazon. Nobody is getting any harassment from the ALU. We just keep getting these text messages.
Yeah, and let me get back, Masood, into this discussion also, mm-hmm. because I'm interested in why you then decide, because obviously there's threats, there's intimidation, there's harassment, there's all kinds of connivance and maneuvering by the union. Oh, pity downtrodden Bezos, whose back is all burdened and bent by these workers. But Masood, why then in the face of this do you decide that you want a union? Because unions get an awful bad rap in the public and in mass media, and you're being harassed by the company lawyers and so on. So why do you then say, I'm joining, I'm signing a card, and I want an election in our warehouse for an Amazon workers union, an Amazon labor union? Why did you do that, Masood?
Because basically my other job was a union job. So I seen how a union actually is for the people. Like, they'll actually back you. And that's why I was for the union. And I already knew once I came to the job and I seen how Amazon didn't want the union, I already knew. I had a feeling in my head like, oh, so y'all don't want them here because y'all want to clean house, keep cleaning house, rotating, you know, so y'all don't really have to, the pay doesn't go up because you keep cleaning the house. And I saw, I said, it's a revolving door most likely. That's why they don't want the union there, because they know if they get the union there, they're going to have to pay the workers what they're worth, and they ain't going to be able to get rid of people like they want to do.
And we are listening to Building Bridges, and that's what we always do with Ken Nash and Mimi Rosenberg. And we're speaking with Heather Goodall and Kimberly Rowland and Masood Abdullah. And we have just minutes left. So tell us what we need to do to support you and what the next steps are for you.
Part of what we at ALB1 is asking for the public to help in supporting us. Right now, please go to our ALB1 Voices United on Facebook. Our Twitter is ALB1 United. We really need the public to demand that the anti-union propaganda, the coercion, the suggestive phrasing, the retaliation stop. And Amazon is not going to do it voluntarily. They are going to continue to harass and intimidate workers. We are asking the public to please send that support and tell Amazon to stop. I have announced the general manager is Nicholas Schlaus. He is the ALB1 manager. Please send an email to schlatzn@amazon.com. It's schlatzn@amazon.com. We're asking the public, step up with us and shut down the lies. Shut down and give us an opportunity to have a fair fight and to have a fair election. And Amazon is being extremely aggressive. We need your support.
Well, you have our support, and I know you have our audience's support. So the audience, please use those contact numbers. And we are very, very happy to have been speaking to Heather Goodall, Kimberly Rowland, Masood Abdullah, Amazon worker organizers. Thanks for standing up and fighting the good fight for union.
Thank you for what you do. Workers of the world, unite. Stay strong, stay well, and support ourselves. That is, support the working class.